That was me being funny. I know you wouldn't recognize it, because you don't expect it from me and you don't know anything about comedy. But me being funny.
Like comedy, like the rule of three and timing?
No, like, it's timing.
Oh, so
that's how you comedy.
Timing.
Yeah, that's closer. Much better. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Greetings, Afropasty and Buck Club for the Six. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
Timing like that?
Yeah, like that. With your hosts.
Salsa.
And Jenna.
And that means it's a good show.
Yeah. Screw the guy. Aww. I feel bad. I don't feel bad.
No, it's okay. We've sidebarred about this enough.
Oh, right. Okay. No, I mean, this is great.
It's going to be a lot quieter. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, that's what we want on a podcast. Oh.
You know, the thing is we've had episodes without James before, and we get so used to just letting him go, letting him. We get so used to him just going.
To him just going.
That when he's not here, it's just like, oh right. We actually have to say something.
Oh, shit. I can't just be lazy. All right.
Well. So that's why we keep him around.
Yeah,
because we're lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Jinx.
Now there's only one person talking on this podcast. It's going to be a great show now that Jenna can't talk.
You said my name. Moi.
Hoisted. James is out. James is not feeling his usual Jamesy self.
Which is actually really sad when you say it that way. He's not feeling his regular Jamesy self. Oh, his regular Jamesy self is adorable.
Is it though?
It's adorable.
Okay.
They're like, look, I also find Joe to be adorable. Oh, it's sometimes. Okay. So like,
your taste in men is just bizarre.
My adorable factor is a little wonkety. Yeah.
In all seriousness, James, feel better soon.
Please do. Yes.
I mean, not too soon.
If you need another week off to get better, I'm okay with that. That's fine. You know, do what you need to do.
Yeah. No hurry.
You take care of you.
to celebrate, I mean, to console ourselves.
Yes.
That he's not here. We are drinking booze.
Yes.
We have.
I'm so excited.
Yes,
for this.
We have Applejack toddies, in which I took tea and put Applejack in it.
Yes.
A lot of Applejack.
Oh, good. Am I crashing on the couch tonight?
There's like 2 ounces of Applejack in there.
Fuck. I am crashing on the couch tonight.
It's a big mug.
You know what? I got my work laptop. It'll be fine. okay. All right. I'm going to take a sip. What kind of tea?
I am using Bengal Spice.
Mm. Oh, that is everything I have ever wanted out of a warm beverage.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Ooh.
It's almost like a mulled cider, but like 1,000 times better.
Better, yeah.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm a huge fan of Bengal spice tea. It just like the spice blend and the citrusy notes in there and the
citrusy notes are a really smart call for this.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, and it plays off the apple well. Yeah.
No, this is delightful. I'm going to demand more of this. Every time I come over, demanding.
I mean, demand away. We'll see how far that gets you.
I will have at least stated my expectations and desires. So in that part, I will have done my duty.
All right.
It smells like tea in here.
Well, oddly enough...
Hey, that's not James. This person is way cuter than James.
Exactly. Thank you.
I mean, I should hope. Oh, you want me to drink some of this?
Yes.
Your tea.
You want you to drink some of this.
This is his Bengal spice, right?
Yes, with a lot of Applejack in it.
I mean, I do love me some Applejack. My nose is overwhelmed by the amount of cinnamon and whatever else is in the Bengal spice tea.
Yeah, exactly.
Do it.
Like, you, it, I love you. In a way, you've ruined the Applejack.
Oh, no.
So. No, to be fair, Raterly is something of a super smeller.
Apparently. I didn't know.
All and right. So, like, she very sensitive nose, and so she gets overwhelmed by strong smells, whereas that's something I crave.
Though,
you know, I like those bold, strong, like, smacky-in-the-face smells, and those are overpowering for her.
Do you like Bird Nog Champa, then? Or, like...
Honestly, it's really interesting because I love like sauerkraut and stuff like that. Okay. So like vinegary things don't bother me in the slightest, and he cannot stand them.
Mm.
But I'm the super smeller. Interesting. Apparently.
But like what, like salt? Like, you know, there'll be salt in something, and she'll be like, "This is way too salty," and I'm like, "I'm gonna put more salt in this."
Joe and I have played that game actually. Also, Joe does not like pickled things. Mostly.
There
are a few exceptions.
The vinegar,
he doesn't like
I'm not a big I like pickles.
Yeah,
but pickled things like sauerkraut, kombucha can go fuck itself.
Oh, kombucha on the
But like kimchi, not a big fan.
Oh, kimchi. Oh my God.
Okay, so I'm going to put out there, kraut and kimchi are both fermented, not pickled.
That's okay. True. No, you're
but they
right.
do still have kind of that mouthfeel.
Yes, yeah. And sometimes you can put vinegar in those things to, like, move it along and add flavors and taste and stuff. So I just watched an episode of a thing on how to make sauerkraut. So I want to make sauerkraut, even though I know it will stink up my kitchen. Mm-hmm. So maybe we just need to make an outdoor kitchen. So you can make garum, and I will make kraut.
Yes!
Oh, you're going to make garum?
I was planning. I don't have the bottle anymore, so I don't know if I should do that anymore.
Why?
Bottle.
Joe has talked about doing this, and I was like, I don't want to be at your place for like a week after you attempt this.
The thing is everybody on the planet.
I will eat everything afterwards. Like, don't get me wrong. I understand how much that can enhance flavor. Yeah. But, like, I don't want to be there for the process.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want the stink. I just want the result.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And, I don't want the pregnancy. I just want the baby.
The thing is, like, whenever anybody says garum, people immediately just have this visceral reaction. But, like, fish sauce is a thing. Mm-hmm. Worcester sauce is a thing.
And I don't want to be around when either of those are being made either.
So I want to try garum, but I need the only really way to get garum is to fucking make it yourself.
All right. Well, if you try this venture, you let Joe know.
Oh, the entire fucking neighborhood will know.
Yeah.
Well, Joe's not in your neighborhood, but he might still know.
He might still know. There will be news reports.
There's only one suburb in between where you're at and where he's at.
Could we please go do it in by the neighbor's house with the Jesus sign?
Oh, like, we've got a lot of great neighbors.
We have amazing neighbors. I don't want to piss them off.
And then there's the one neighbor.
There's always the one neighbor.
Who has the Value Life Democrats Don't sign.
Oh,
in their yard. Yeah.
Oh, that's delightful.
That neighbor.
Oh.
The not very Jesus people. Not very Jesus-like Jesus people. There we go.
There you go. I'll definitely drink to that.
Yeah. So I'm just more like, we can make garum in their yard, right? Just make it so like there's a wind tunnel just straight to their yard.
Not exactly something you could localize.
I promise I am not this vindictive, really.
No, I believe the science backs you on this. I think this is doable.
I think there is a good science experiment here, like for a wind tunnel of some sort. I am sure I can get a local, you know, group of engineering students from the local community college.
There you go, yeah.
Or high school robotics team. I know a few of those, and they haven't been able to do anything for 2 years, and so they are itching to make things.
Make this a thing for, like, a stage tech? And have, like, and be like, no, we need to have this effect for this theatrical thingamajigger.
I mean, I am putting a show together right now, but... Yes, I am in a really unique, wonderful position where I have a ton of tech, experienced tech. Most of our seniors this year are tech people, which is awesome. We have very, so I probably could make them like, hey, want a senior project?
Yeah, exactly.
This is for credit.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't offer you credit, really, but... I could try.
I will give you credit.
Right?
Not like, you were in my class. Academic credit, but I'll give you credit.
When the police come, it's your fault. That is that the kind of credit you're talking about?
Should have read the fine line, the fine print.
I believe that's technically called entrapment. I mean,
so they're in the clear.
It's only entrapment if you get caught. Otherwise, you're fucking.
Otherwise, we're on this together. But, you know. So, yeah. Okay, so that's our new plan. You know, on top of all the other projects now for the house is build an outdoor kitchen.
After I fix the wall.
Yes.
Of swords here.
Of swords. And the...
Little off-kilter.
It is, yeah.
I
hung the scimitar and it's too high.
Yes.
It's too high.
I'm sorry.
It's not balanced. I'm upset.
There's also a slight, like, bow on the ceiling for when we walk down the stairs to the basement. And it's going to drive him crazy.
Like,
and he lives here. And he has
like
to see
shooting
it every day.
Bow?
No, like a slight
like where the stairwell
curve.
The stairwell comes down at an angle with
sure.
the stairs, and then it meets the wall, which is vertical. And right where they meet, that line is not straight. Because the ceiling bows ever so slightly in the middle. And so it's got a slight upturn on the edges.
Oh, no.
And it drives me bonkers.
I take great joy in this.
And I'm nice. I've just got to live with it. And I'm already becoming accustomed to it just because I'm going to live here for probably the rest of my life.
Yep.
And I.
Well, until your kids ship you into a home or something.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But either way.
Kids ship. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah. No.
Nah, I would have nothing to do with that.
No.
No.
Nope.
Nope.
I mean, kids will probably ship you into a home at some point, too.
Oh, no, they like me, but...
Wow.
So, yeah, little proclivities here and there about this house that...
Well, but any house, really.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's just these are the new ones, and so because they're new and fresh, they're still gaping wounds.
Mm-hmm.
Poor darling.
You'll find more,
oh, yeah.
And then there's more, and then there's more, and then there's tinier ones, but then there's more of them.
Oh, yeah. You tamp one down, and three more spring up.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Nope. We got to take apart one of the sinks, first month in. We had to take apart a sink and try to unclog it and find out we can't unclog it. So,
yeah, it's been draining slow ever since we moved in.
Okay.
And I finally tried to snake it, and there's no blockage. So whatever is causing it to drain real slow is real deep.
Oh, shoot.
So I kind of want to make a, you know, like a the aristocrats, but like, you know, homeownership, hooray, you know.
Yes.
Because, you know, very those are the things that happen, right? And I'm sure that many listeners out there have like a phrase or something they already use to like be like, yay, homeownership.
Uh-huh.
Right? It's super awesome and something we all want.
You bought it, you break it.
Right? Yeah, no, apparently it was already broken. It's ours. But
but it's our problem.
Yes. We bought the problem.
Yeah. The buck stops here.
Nope.
The buck flows to the plumbers and the homeowners, and the buck goes to the lenders, and the all of the bucks go somewhere else.
Mm.
None of the bucks stop here.
I mean, you live far enough away from the cities, you might have like some actual bucks stop by.
We do.
We do.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Deer hang out. They like our neighbor across the street more, but since we're pretty close to Nine Mile Creek, and they wander around there, and so they definitely wander through our yard. I found a lot of deer spore. Deer. It's really interesting to see the garden that is currently in our backyard has lots of fencing around everything. It's not deer fencing or really even like
it's
rabbit
like
knee high, fencing.
It's knee-high fencing.
I don't know what the point of it was other than to trip everyone, but
sure.
Like it's not keeping the deer away from the hostas. I don't know.
No, but like the weekend after we moved in, I was woken up by my son running upstairs going, there's deer across the street. Oh, my God.
Honey, when we were moving in, there were three deer hanging out across the street.
Oh, were there?
Yeah. Oh,
I didn't see those.
Yeah. People helping us move in. We were standing around in the garage. We just went, oh, look, there's three deer.
Oh, no, I missed that entirely. I was somewhere else.
You were probably focused. You were focused on whatever.
I mean, we were in four different places the whole time we were moving.
Yes.
So.
four.
Yes, two of us in four places. It was magic.
That is impressive.
Well, we were at the old house, and we were at the new house, and I had to take my daughter to hockey practice.
Okay.
And there was something else going on that weekend that I had to be at, too. So
you had a magician's game.
Oh, okay. So I was working at a hockey game. So
over the course of the day...
Yeah.
We were all over the place.
Okay. I was going to say, we were not, in fact, actually at four places at once.
Not simultaneously, no.
Knighted. But yeah.
Well played.
Yes. I can play this game occasionally.
I mean, but what are things that deer like, and do you want them in your backyard?
I mean, they are pests, generally, because they want to eat all your stuff. Which means at least I know, like, if I do want to grow a garden with, like, actual food in it, I need to make a deer-proof garden, which will be exciting.
Well, that'll be fun.
Yeah, a lot of fencing and
do one of those raised bed things that like go up to your knee, but then you got like the latchy door thing, and you can go in, and there's just fencing all around the damn thing.
I think that's going to be what happens.
Pretty much,
and then I'll probably put bird netting over it.
Mm-hmm. So thankfully, we've got the yard for it now.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, except I mean, I'm not going to be upset about the trees. We just have like about 10 million trees in our yard, and so there's no actual spot for sun. So I may have to not actually grow vegetables ever. I'm just not allowed. I'll never have a spot sunny enough to make my tomatoes actually ripen there. Grr.
I don't know. I think there's probably a couple spots.
I don't know. You'll
have to watch for sun
patterns. Yeah, once the summer comes, we'll see what the...
Yes. It'll be...
What the leaves do.
Yeah. I mean... We'll see what happens and how high maintenance I want to be in my yard, which is generally not that high. My friend at one point in time, she's like, my garden looks like benevolent neglect. And I have taken that on as like my MO for gardening techniques of just like benevolent neglect. Make something enough that it goes by itself and then I don't have to worry about it anymore. You know, it's a little rundown, maybe. Reuse of the, you know, and my last house, I used the...
It's bee-friendly.
It is. It was bee-friendly. And I don't care that they were technically weeds. The bees were very happy with them. And I reused our old recycling bin from, you know, long, long ago, the little square ones. I used it as a planter, which is great, but also sort of looks a little trashy.
Yeah, but you just get some spray paint.
Not
and
trashy,
like,
recycly.
Yeah. That is the epitome. That is the epitome of upcycling.
It is the epitome of upcycling.
That's the most meta upcycle I've ever heard of.
Well, I mean, because I am pretty awesome.
That's true.
It's, the benevolent neglect.
I mean, you know, someday when I can get a house... Thank you, housing market.
Right? It'll happen.
No shit.
It will happen.
I'm definitely of the replace my lawn with like low clover or they have the crawling. What is it? Thyme. What is it? The purple thyme or whatever.
Yep.
It's just like super low, but smells amazing.
Yep.
And also mice don't like it, so...
Yep.
I would absolutely love to
my entire yard. That's all I'm doing.
Yeah. I would love to do just a clover yard. Because you only have to mow that, like, once ever. Mm-hmm.
And so, I will also say, though, if you are into grass, like, they are definitely local places that will sell, like, local grass seeds. Mm-hmm. We had spots in our old yard that our soil was super sandy and grass didn't want to grow there, and it just looked awful and ugly and bad. So I got local grasses that were very short, so didn't have a lot of maintenance that needed to happen with them, but were also good for sandy soil. And it was and didn't cost me all that much money to get reasonable amount of seeds.
Sure.
So like do a little research and find out, you know, what's available, because planting native grasses is a, you know, maybe not as pretty as clover, but honestly, in a lot of ways, more...
Way better for the soil.
Right. Yeah, better for the environment and the soil.
Well, I mean, they're selling these native grasses for fields, you know, like meadows.
Right.
And so when you're just doing your lawn, it's really cheap.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, comparatively.
Comparatively, yes.
It's cheaper still to buy, like, the stuff from, you know, the hardware
Home Depot
store
or whatever.
But... Yeah. That's filled with stuff we don't want and high maintenance and, again,
benevolent neglect.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, thus the benevolence. Mm-hmm. But we are, yeah, that's, we'll see what happens. Can't wait. I also can't wait till it's not snowing anymore and I can put my pride flag out. And yay. Yes, mm-hmm. I need to order my BLM sign.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all that fun stuff. You know, tasteful, but still, you know, yeah. Tell the neighborhood who we are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, well, I remember...
Let our freak flag fly, quite literally.
Mm-hmm. I remember, because your sister moved.
Yep.
And she was talking about, like, Halloween decorations, and she's mm-hmm. like, would a dragon be too much? Am I going to freak out my neighbors? And, like, nope. The answer is no. Her neighbors loved it.
Yep.
But it's always one of those, like, okay, how much am I pushing right now? But when do I bring the fire breathers over?
Right.
Like, that's really the...
Well, no, I mean, like, we've already been through Christmas in this new house, and the other houses really went crazy with the lights, you know?
Mm.
And so that's not going to be a problem. Like, no matter how much effort I'm willing to put into this house as far as Christmas lights go, which sure. is not a lot. You know, no, I'm completely.
I'm just picturing you with like a rope of Christmas lights, and you just kind of chuck them out onto the lawn, and you're like, "All right, we're done."
Bah humbug! Like I'm completely willing to do like the eaves, you know, like kind of like do the under the eaves, and then a couple like the nets on the bushes in front of the yard,
oh,
and
sure.
stuff like that. Like that's fine. when you start doing the like really insane like. Outlining every
nook, possible thing.
And
so you look like a gingerbread house on lighting
exactly,
crack.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and then you like like there's a house down the street that has the like projected lights, you know?
I'm kind of okay with the projected lights.
I didn't say there was a problem with the projected right. lights. I'm just saying that they're kind of extra.
Well, but like if you want to hit an entire house in one go,
yeah.
that's beautifully
lazy. It lights
lazy.
Up the house.
Yeah.
Like it, like you'd be laying in bed, and the light from that
literally.
Bouncing off the house,
yeah.
comes into the room. There's a lot of light coming off of that.
Yeah,
it's amazing how much light those projectors can spit out.
Technology has gotten so good. But no, I'm a huge fan of the tasteful decorations.
Agreed.
I like a little bit of, I'm not a multi-color Christmas light person.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a nice amber or a warm. A warm white or something
we
like
do
that.
Purple.
Purple's fine, yeah. But like, you know, something, and you can even like purple and blue would be a lovely combination. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't want every color. I want, you know, tasteful stuff. And just like, I'm a huge garland fan. Mm-hmm. I like, you know, if I had posts, it would be garland and lights going up it, some ribbon and some wreath and some whatever. But like, just. You don't need to do the whole damn thing.
See, what I want to do is get some, like angle iron or something like that.
Angle iron?
Yeah.
It's shaped like an L.
Yeah, it's the metal that's just a 90 degree.
Oh.
For structural soundness.
Okay, thank you.
But
I'm
just
like, because I was hearing angle. Mm-hmm. Iron, and I was like, is that some, like, specific type of iron that's made to do whatever? No,
but just,
angle.
But just, you know, 10-foot-long strips of metal, basically, and then bolt them together so they hinge, and then attaching the Christmas lights to that. So all you have to do is hook the metal frame, basically, on there. So it's like hook, done.
People do that with PVC pipe and then, you know, they don't lose their gutters. I'm just going to put that out there. Angle iron's heavy.
Oh, I wouldn't attach it to the gutters.
Well,
that would be a terrible idea.
I mean, yes. I was being a little facetious. Meant more like PVC pipe. It's, you know,
it's lighter.
It bends.
You have it up for 2 months.
Anyway.
So there was one Christmas where
I'm not allowed in the show.
No, stay, please. Poke more fun at us. Please do.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. But no, there was one particular Christmas we had a fake tree.
Last Christmas?
No.
I gave you hope.
I mean, the story involves Bill.
Gave
so if it was
year.
Give it to someone special.
So was it anyway. Joe? Did you give it to Joe?
He already had it.
Oh, sweet.
I actually didn't give him anything for Christmas this year. Also, he didn't give me anything for Christmas this year.
Bastard. Anyway.
Yeah, we're just nice to each other all year round. It's kind of how we do things. So,
he gave James a present.
He did give James a present. James got more presents from Joe for Christmas this year than I did. But I'm not bitter.
Nor green.
I'm wearing blue today.
You are very lovely in blue.
Thank you. So there was this one Christmas, probably about 10 years ago or so, where we had a fake tree. And I had been very careful to wrap the lights in such a way that I could disconnect the one pole from the next and still keep all of the lights on the tree. And so that the next year, all I would have to do is put the pole in, plug the lights in. I don't need to redo everything.
Yeah.
So Bill decided he was going to take down the tree.
Aw.
And did not know of my master plan.
No.
Mm-hmm. But he was going to surprise me by taking down the tree and being like, look, this is one less thing you have to worry about.
So sweet. Kind.
And so I walk in and there's lights all coiled up, all nice and pretty, and the tree is down and all of the stuff is packaged. And I was like, oh, I can't even be mad, but I still am.
Mm-hmm. Somehow I still am.
Somehow.
Yeah.
It's not as good as the time he decided to wash my belly dance bra.
Oh! No.
Mm-hmm.
No. Bill, say it ain't so.
He was like, yeah, well, so I'm washing your costume. And I went, oh, God. what parts of my costume? No. It really was.
I was going to say, most belly dance costumes, none of it. Don't wash any of that.
A lot of the, there were some ribbons and things like that that held on actually pretty well for this particular bra.
Oh, good.
It was sequins in place for months.
Right. That ain't coming out.
No, that's as bad as when people who don't cast iron say, I washed your skillet.
Oh God. he's lucky that that particular bra I was going to redo anyway.
Oh.
I was just going to wait until after I was done with that festival season.
He helped with the process. He made it much faster, getting everything off.
He expedited the process.
That's the right word.
Yeah. Yes. He created urgency in the work environment.
Which really, would it have gotten done otherwise?
Yes. Yes, because I wasn't a huge fan of that particular bra anyway. But,
still. You know. Oh, joy. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's fun. It's exciting.
This is why I don't volunteer for things.
I mean, ask first. Just ask. Yep. Don't assume, just ask.
No. I just don't volunteer. It's better this way.
You know, this is how...
That's the lesson I have learned today.
This is how women's work comes into play, where you don't volunteer and you don't ask, and I end up being the one who cleans the countertop. And when was the last time you touched a mop?
That's what I have learned today.
Yep.
I'm just going to hang out over here and let the married couple have a conversation.
I might damage something, so I'm just not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the wall. It's, yeah. I am finding, new reserves of, oh my God, keep it clean craziness that I didn't know. But, I have three floors of house now.
Mm-hmm.
There are three floors of house now. Mm-hmm. And the kids have been mostly helpful. They all can, because they can do their own laundry. That was a thing I taught our kids early, and I am so happy
I did.
Yeah. Asher's been doing his own laundry since he was four.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
No, he doesn't put away. He can't put it away.
I think Jessa was about eight when she started doing her own laundry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I also never, that was kind of a weird thing, because sometimes we lived in a place that had a washer and dryer, and sometimes we didn't.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And our children, we have a little stool for them to climb up on, and luckily they've always been in a place where the washer and dryer are accessible.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
So yes, it's really nice.
Yeah.
But
and thanks to modern technology, we can just chuck everything into the same washer. When I was a kid, we still had to sort colors and things like that.
I mean,
No, you didn't. I never sorted. Somehow we all lived.
I did accidentally turn somebody's white shirt pink once by not sorting properly.
I have definitely done that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not recently, but like also all of my colors are dark now because yep. I just don't care. And I don't want to spend the time figuring it out. Mm-hmm. So
we also, I think because I grew up on a farm, we had to be really intense with our washing. And so that's probably more why we were getting bleeding colors and stuff like that.
Right. Well, I mean, okay.
When we're doing our laundry, it's like light soil. You can do it in cold water, gentle cycle, and it's not a problem. Yeah.
So, I mean, cold water is what actually makes it not run. So
yeah.
I would say the only thing I ever washed in hot water was like Taekwondo uniforms, and then you bleached the hell out of those.
Yeah, so we washed water, everything like, in for hot. Most things. I use warm for most.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are certain things that I will just use the cold water on. But
what I love about our new washer is that it has a tap cold like option. It's not even just cold water, but like tap cold water. And I was like, yes. Because most modern detergents are made to work with cold water at this point. So, and it's, you know, it's more economical, but also more environmentally friendly and all that fun stuff.
Oh my God. So, do you know what I have now?
What do you have now?
The detergent sheets.
Yes. Ooh, I've been thinking about those.
Mm-hmm. I got some from Grove. Do you want a seat?
I don't really. Okay. Thank you, though.
Okay. But, like, I got them from Grove, so I'm a Grove member now. Uh-huh. Mm.
Pinkies out.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, and they're lavender.
Ah, lovely.
So I did a few different tests with this, right? Mm-hmm. I did a test where it was just one sheet, regular load of clothes, a couple of pants, some underwear, so I just like a good mix, t-shirts, things like that. Did that, came through fine.
Yay!
The next test was all jeans.
Mm.
And? I'm like, all right.
Yep.
Nope. Everything came out beautifully.
Woot.
The final test that I gave to these laundry sheets, I found a bag of fest clothes.
I was going to say fest clothes.
Yep.
That I unearthed as I was cleaning things out a month after fest. And
that sounds about normal. Yeah.
Cool. And so I used a washing sheet, one detergent sheet with the fest clothes on cold.
Mm.
Beautiful.
Yay!
Awesome. Absolutely beautiful. It did the job. I did also find out, like, if there are times where, like, I think there's going to be a stain or something, you can actually, like, you pick one sheet and you just tear a little bit off.
Yeah.
And you get it wet, and then you can rub the sheet into the stain.
Ooh.
That's actually kind of nice.
That's kind of cool. You have to have other things.
You can spot treat it, like, and rub at the same time, and it's great.
That's cool. All right. But think about it. Thank you for the vote of confidence in it.
I don't think it's Method, but I'll let you know which brand. Because Grove has stuff from, like, all over the place now.
Yeah. So good to know.
So, well, should we take a break?
Yeah. There was a thing I wanted to talk about today. Well, so we're recording on MLK Day, and I just went to a rally today.
Sure.
So I just wanted to take a moment to, I guess, talk about briefly that we are in a moment of great change in our society, where workers and people and unions are hopefully coming to terms with the world we live in, and that, like, things need to be fair and equitable.
Right.
And that, as we celebrate on MLK Day, remembering that he was not just a civil rights leader, but also a workers' right leader. And that this is something that I am becoming more vocal about, and I think it's very important. So I'm using the platform. Ha ha! My husband has a platform.
You have taken over the platform.
Taken over the platform.
Both of our listeners are really into this.
You could have just asked.
I'm just saying. No, I
just walk in here, take the platform. I mean, you probably should, but
I mean, it's more fun when I can do it, like, randomly.
That's fair.
But yeah, so it's just we are, as a teacher, especially right now, like, looking at the world we are in and just where the equity is in the world, and workers everywhere deserving of their fair share, and that things will be uncomfortable. But when you stand for what's right, then it's right. And it will, you know, be worth it.
Yeah.
So that's my little soapbox that I really felt I needed to say, because it's important to me. So thank you for letting me use your platform.
Under duress. You're welcome.
Yes.
Thank you, sweetie.
No, definitely a worthy thing to take over our platform for.
So.
Yay.
Okay. I guess now
should we take a break?
Yes. Let's take a break now, and we'll be back with Apropos of Home Economics in a little bit.
Union break.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com. And we're back. I'm Salsa.
And I'm Jenna. God damn it.
Uh-huh.
The problem is that I usually have a James buffer. So that when you go... And we're back. I'm Salsa. I usually have I'm James.
A beat to collect yourself.
I usually
yourself.
Have a moment to you know... That's what James does.
That's your
for us.
Secret.
He's the beat.
I see.
Yes.
That's your secret. Is you always let him answer first, so you have a moment to think.
Yes.
I see.
Yes. Now I have to be smarter.
Oh, God, no.
Oh. No,
our listeners would expect nothing more. So over the weekend, we have a three-day weekend, and spent some time, quality time with the kids.
Ooh.
It was a lot of fun. We played board games. The kids watched, I was working at a hockey game when this happened, but the kids watched, The Neverending Story.
Okay.
With my wife for the first time.
Oh.
And, I got
how
a text.
How much sadness was
oh,
there?
Oh, I got a text from my wife saying that the Artax scene wrecked them.
I believe it.
Like, they were like, why would you show this to us? but he came back in the end, which apparently saved it.
Okay.
And at the very end, when they're like, what wish do you want, Bastion? And then, like, the next scene is him riding the luck dragon. Like, apparently my son was like, yeah!
Oh, my God, yes, that's perfect.
Uh-huh. No, suits so perfectly.
Mm.
But, no, they did that, and my wife was like, when, you know, we're going to have to do a family night. With you as well, and
you're actually a part of this family.
I know, it's weird. They like me. I don't get it. So on Sunday night, we played a board game together.
Really?
Uh-huh.
What game did you play?
We played a game called. Yeah, I don't. It's either Carrick or Karak, or I'm not sure how it's supposed to be pronounced. Karak.
Yep, that one's tricky.
Uh-huh. But the kids played it, like, we brought it to Fest, actually.
Okay.
And so during the day, while we're performing and stuff like that,
yeah.
All of the Fondazzi kids would play this board game in the Vardo backstage.
Sure.
Like, they loved this game. So my kids already knew this game. It was new to me. But this, so Carrick or Carrick, Karak or whatever it is, it's
I'm going with Karak.
Karak.
Karak. Because it sounds visceral. Like
Karak.
Karak.
Anyway. But it's a dungeon building game.
Okay.
And so you start with a single tile, and you kick to open the door, and you build the dungeon as you go. You open the door, and you would draw a tile from the box, and you put the tile, whatever tile it is, there. And you flesh out the dungeon as you go.
Nice.
And you know, fight monsters, and you get loot and get weapons, and eventually somebody kills a dragon and the game's over, and whoever has the most loot wins the game.
All right.
We're trying to... My daughter is a very big storyteller. She loves telling stories. She loves stories.
I'm well aware.
I know.
Yes.
And so we're trying to get her into Dungeons & Dragons and introducing that to her.
Sure.
And so, you know, I was explaining to her that... Dungeons and Dragons is just this, but instead of this being physical things that you're interacting with, and, you know, it's all words, You're describing the situation that's happening.
Right.
You know, and so to connect the two, I started narrating our game.
Okay.
And it quickly dissolved into utter madness. Because
excellent.
I started getting a series of really bad rolls, and I was like losing I was getting like twos and threes.
Oh,
a lot.
How many? How
what? 2d6.
Okay.
So I was getting fucking low rolls.
No. Like on 1 6-sider, that's not an issue. On a 4-sider, that's fantastic. Yeah, what are you bitching about? But yeah.
No, I 2d6s. And at one point I actually, because my character has an extra roll. If I fail the first roll, I get a second roll. And you have no money fucking times. Like if you tie in this game, you still have to retreat, but you don't lose a health.
Okay.
Okay. And so my first roll would be a tie. And it'd be like, second roll, 3, fuck. So now I
should have taken the tie.
It's in the rules. I do take an extra one. That's what I do.
Right.
You know? And so there was a series of these. And at one point, I actually looked at Raiderly and said, this is going to be Snake Eyes. Watch. And it was fucking Snake Eyes that I rolled. I was just like, I totally just Babe Ruth that one. But anyway, so I start describing the action, you know? So
sure.
And so I quickly threw a name onto my character, Karnak.
Ooh.
Karnak the D, and then I stumbled around a bit, and we did D-spoiler, I guess, is what we kind of eventually landed on, even though I'm supposed to be like a paladin. So it was just like, well, this is a completely terrible name. And that quickly changed to Karnak the Dumb, because I started... But I just describe, so, you know, Karnak enters the room and he takes his mighty axe and he swings it at the lich. And the lich ducks out of the way. But it's okay. The force of the swing carries Karnak in a big circle all the way around. And he swings again. And the second time, the lich ducks again and laughs at it. And I'm just describing this action. You know? And the kids are rolling.
I believe it.
They are absolutely dying.
Yes.
Because it got more and more ridiculous. As you know, like, it was like, I kick open the door. You know, but at this point, everybody else had kind of gone in that direction in the dungeon.
Okay.
Like, kind of to the upper right.
Sure.
And my character was moving to the lower left.
Okay.
And so the narrative became...
So you're just wandering around.
Exactly. The narrative became, I was lost and looking for my friends. And at one point I kicked open the door and there was a skeleton back there. And Karnak looks at skeleton and goes, you're not my friend. And the skeleton looks at Karnak and goes, I know. And Karnak looks at skeleton and the skeleton goes, well, where is friend? And the skeleton goes, I don't know. I've been in this room all this time. And Karnak goes, well, then you die, and swings his axe. And just...
And then the skeleton ducks.
And the skeleton fucking ducked, and it was...
Again.
And...
Yes.
And, if you defeat a mummy, there's a curse.
Oh.
And when you defeat the mummy, you place the curse on another player. And the player no longer gets to use their special abilities.
Okay.
Until the curse is lifted. And so at one point, I fought a mummy and I defeated the mummy.
How?
I somehow defeated the mummy. I was able to kill a couple creatures here and there. Sheer happenstance.
Mm.
But I killed this mummy and it was like the curse token. And so my narration, I was like, a great booming voice from nowhere says, you must choose one of your friends. And I was like, oh, this one right here. And I had given all of us character names at this point.
Sure.
And I was like, so my wife, I was like, ooh, her, she's great. I like her. And it was like, the voice says, "You have chosen." And Karnak goes, "Oh, that's really nice. I really like that person. I'm so glad I chose them." Just super happy. And Raiderly is staring daggers at me. Because Karnak thinks, "I've just done something really nice. I'm supposed to choose someone, so I chose. Yay!" And the kids, dead. The kids are just absolutely, they are losing their minds with laughter. It was so much goddamn fun. So Lilibeth catches on, and she starts narrating her character.
Okay.
And she, you know, reusing a lot of my plot lines because she's still new to this, but still, sure, still catching on to that. Just like, oh, this is something we can do. We can give these plot line. And so she's opening the door and this is happening. And oh, you know, and you know, very simplistic, but still just like catching the groove of this is how this works. And it's just like, oh, she's going to be such a good GM when she gets older. No, it was a ton of fun. It was so much fun. Like, we had to tone it down after a while because it was just becoming so ridiculous that nothing was getting accomplished.
Whoa.
I know, right?
Wait, just a moment. Are you telling me that you and your children, encouraged by your bombastic nature in all of this, somehow became too loud, too energetic, and just too much, and you started to lose the focus, and yeah, okay,
like we finally finished the game 2 hours after their bedtime.
That's side tangent, but like when we do prom with Tom, there's a core group of us. Tom is always involved because you can't have prom with Tom without Tom, obviously.
That would be just prom with Tom without Tom.
Right.
Then that's...
That's awkward. You can't do that. And sometimes different people host, whatever. Yeah. But the thing is that it really doesn't matter who's involved with the group, except for Tom. But no matter who's doing prom with Tom, we will go way long. Like, super long. Because part of the Monster Prom is, like, you can do the narrations and stuff. And, like, there are certain areas where you could debate choices and things like this. And the thing is that, like, at the beginning, it'll say, oh, do you want to play a short game, like 45 minutes? Or do you want to play a long game, like 90 minutes?
Of course.
And, like, we started by playing long games. And then very quickly realized that if we did a 45-minute estimated game...
quote-unquote short game?
It would still be 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
Like, it did not... Nope. We did the longer one, which is like an hour and a half. It took us over 3 hours to finish that game. Because we're just like... because we're talking and we're like distracting each other and like side stories and like all of this other stuff and like debating things. Yeah. I can easily see how somebody being energetic and narrating everything might elongate the process somehow.
Like there was one point, there was a monster in a room that soundly handed me my ass, and so like I retreated.
Sure.
And found a chest and got a better weapon.
Okay.
And then my turn came around again, and I was like, Karnak suddenly go, wait a second. That was bad guy in that room. Must go kill bad guy. And I ran back towards the room. I was like, I have a better weapon now. I'm going to fight this thing. Just, oh, the kids love that. They were loving everything.
I believe it.
And my wife was just...
I'm sure she was tickled.
She was just looking at me with a smirk on her face. Like, you are ridiculous. Why did I marry you?
I have the entire visualization in my head right now.
No, but it was nice. One of the funnest nights I've had with my kids in a long time.
Well, yeah, you've had Fest and moving and all of this other stuff and so much, and you're finally in your place,
mm-hmm.
and you can just take a family night and just have fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's still delightful.
No, it was wonderful. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. And I found, in the move, I found our last bottle of pomegranate mead. I made this like 6 years ago or something like mm-hmm. that, like a long time ago. And I thought it was all gone. And then in the move, while I was moving all of the fucking bottles of all the booze that I have laying around the house, I found this last bottle, and I stuck it in the wine rack.
Yeah.
Where the cider goes. And my wife walked in there and saw that it was leaking.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So we were like, oh, well, I guess we're going to drink this. Like, not much had leaked out. Like, maybe a half an inch tops had leaked out. So we didn't lose very much. However, when I popped that cork open, holy shit.
Yeah?
It exploded. Like, I had one of those corks that, like, wraps around the top. So it holds pressure.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the plastic ones that you like on spiral unwrap.
Yeah.
But as soon as I got past the lip, the pop, boom, exploded off.
Oh my God.
Cat lost its mind. Kids wondered what the fuck happened. Everybody's scared. So I'm holding this thing in my hands and it's suddenly gone. Like, it whips past my hand. It whipped my hand as it went past. So I was just like, I'm holding this thing 1 second, and suddenly my hand hurts, and it's gone. It's like, what the fuck just happened? So it was under a bit of pressure, but still
boom,
tasted.
Boom, 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 boom.
Still tasted pretty good. Still tasted really, really good.
I'm happy and jealous, but mostly happy.
I need to make more of that.
But also some jealous.
I need to make more of that.
Yes, you do.
We had the pomegranate mead, and we had board games, and the kids had a great time.
Nice.
And it was just lovely. And then we played Ticket to Ride Junior today.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How'd the kids do with that one?
Well, it's the junior version.
It's the junior version, yeah.
But they still, like, Asher needed a little help at the beginning.
I was about to say, like, I can see Lilibeth just catching on right quick.
She got on pretty quick. Asher, like, had a billion tickets in his hand because he was trying to do one specific thing. Like, he was so focused on, I need to do this.
Yeah.
I need three of this color to do this.
Mm.
And it's like, honey, you can do other things in the meantime. Mm. You know, because, like, other people are building their
track. Multitasking.
And so he's got, like, half the fucking deck of tickets in his hands. And he's like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this and this and this and this. And then you're going to do this. And then this is going to happen. He's like, oh, okay. Got it. So, you know, I played a couple of rounds with him at my shoulder. But then I was at work.
Sure.
Yeah, I had to work today. So I helped him with a couple of rounds and then left him to his own devices. And he ended up winning the game.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, but yeah, it was a lot of just, and they were just in the next room from my office. So I was able to listen to them the whole time.
Right.
And just having a grand time.
Nice.
Grand old time.
That's lovely.
Yeah. Board games, everybody. Play board games with your kids.
Board games.
Board games are way better than sitting in front of the TV.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Not all the time, obviously.
Have you seen Encanto yet?
I have not.
Oh.
I have not seen it yet. The kids watched it already.
Oh, they did. Okay, that's good. I mean, that's the more important thing, really.
Obviously. But no, they watched it one night when I was working at a hockey game, and I haven't gotten around to it yet. But I was driving my daughter to a hockey game this weekend, and we listened to Disney songs on Pandora.
Yes.
When we're driving.
I also listen to Disney songs on Spotify, not Pandora. Oh, okay. But, you know.
But either way, like, that's what we do, you know, when we're driving to a hockey practice or a hockey game, is we listen to a Disney songs on. And this song came on, and I was like, what the hell is this? And Lilibeth is singing along, la, la, la. And I was like, what is going on right now? I don't know what this is. Because usually the kids ask me what movie a song is from. And then I purposefully give the wrong answer to their delight.
And amusement.
It drives my wife up the wall. She fucking hates it. She absolutely hates it. Like,
your wife is the most tolerant person.
She is.
She is so wonderfully tolerant.
Yeah.
And she deserves nice things.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. No, like, we were talking about it, and she was like, you know, my dad used to do things like that, and I absolutely hated it. I hated it. And it was like, I'm sorry the kids seem to like it. Because, like, when I stopped doing it, they got angry at me.
Okay.
Because, like, the Disney's...
Sorry if it's a button for you.
Yeah.
But children, think about the children.
But, like, the Disney Pandora station, like, half those fucking songs are Frozen, I swear to God.
Probably.
And so, like, a Frozen song will come on, and I'll be like, this is from The Little Mermaid. And they'll be like, no, it's from Frozen. And I'm like, yeah, you say that about every song. It can't be every song. And they're like, this one's from Frozen. So then the next song will come on, and it'll be from, like, Lion King. And I'll be like, what movie is this from? This is from The Lion King. And they're like, no! Or no, this one, you're just going to say this is from Frozen. This is from Frozen, right? No, no, this is from The Lion King. But anyway, so we had one. It was Snow White, and I said it's Snow White and the Eight Dwarves, and they got really upset about that.
And how
then,
dare.
I know. And then I listed eight dare. Dwarves, and they were like, no, one of those isn't a dwarf. And I was like, which one? And we're like, we don't know.
We don't know, but you're wrong.
Yeah. What was it? It was like silly. Silly dwarf is the one I slipped in there. It was like happy, grumpy, doc, sleepy, dopey, sneezy, silly, bashful.
Yeah,
or whatever it was.
So, whatever.
And they were just like, we don't know which one it is, but it's wrong.
Oh, so, my goodness.
And so they were like, you know, okay, so seven dwarves, not eight, it's seven. And then like, okay, what was the next one? It was, oh, this one's the Little Mermaid. And they're like, right. And the seven dwarves. No! I was like, what? You said this was right. And they were like, but there's no dwarves in it. I was like, oh, so this is the Little Mermaid and the no dwarves. They're like, no! And I was like, well, how many dwarves are in it? None. Well, then it's zero dwarves. That's what I said. They're like, no, you take the dwarves out of it. And I was like, I did. There's zero dwarves. That's what I said.
It's a very good thing that you have the children you do.
Oh, yeah.
Because if my daughter
had
been one of your children, she would have put a stop to that right fucking quick.
Again, so would my wife.
Right.
My wife would not have brooked that.
Mm-hmm.
No way in hell.
Mm-hmm.
She hates that. But my kids love it. And so they're silly and my silly align in just the right way. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
No, so did they tell you which song it was that came up that they knew that you didn't?
I don't remember what it was.
I'm going to guess the Bruno song. It's We Don't Talk About Bruno, No, No, No.
No, I don't think it was that one. Right. It was... I don't know.
I mean...
I don't remember what it was. It was a female singer...
Okay.
Singing about, she was listing a lot of things quickly.
Okay, so probably the opening Family Madrigal song.
Possibly.
Madrigal.
There was a Madrigal in the title.
The Family Madrigal.
Yeah, this might have been that one. Anyway, I'm looking forward to watching it.
Yeah.
I genuinely am really looking forward to seeing it. I just haven't had the
opportunity
yet.
Here's the thing. The Bruno song that I mentioned has hit number 5 on the billboards.
Mm.
It is so popular. And part of that is because it's very memeable. And so there's a lot of memes out there about the We Don't Talk About Bruno. There's one that's like a mashup of Fight Club, We Don't Talk About Bruno.
It seems a little ironic.
First rule of Family Madrigal is we don't talk about Bruno.
Seems a little ironic that we don't talk about Bruno is a meme.
Mm.
Right? Seems like
no. Well, I mean, the whole song is like we don't talk about Bruno, and then they continue to talk about Bruno.
I see.
So it is in and of itself.
The irony is built in.
The irony is built in. All right. Yes. Spoilers. So.
It's not really a spoiler because I have no fucking idea what you're talking about.
But so. No, it's number five on the Billboards.
Cool. And I'm just Disney well puts done. Out really good songs.
Well, and Lin-Manuel Miranda was the music person for this. Oh, so.
He did the Moana stuff too.
Yep. So yeah, I'm not surprised.
Dude's talented.
He really is. Oh my God. He's one of those people, like, I would have a crush on him, but he's too adorable to have a crush on. You know what I mean? I'm like, you're just so sweet.
He's
like, when Weird Al covered, did the Hamilton polka, and, like, his wife thought to get the reaction of him watching it. And he's so cute in that reaction.
If
he's
Weird Al is going to parody me, I would lose my shit, too.
Oh, I would have the same reaction, too.
Absolutely.
But it's like... You're just watching him, and he's like, oh, my God, he did the thing. And I'm like, it's your thing. He did your thing.
Lin-Manuel Miranda kind of he occupies a very similar real estate in my mind that Amy Adams does. And that I kind of want to hate them, but I can't.
Oh, yeah.
It's impossible.
No, I get that. I get that entirely.
Like, you are so fucking talented. And ridiculous, like, I want to be able to hate you, but I can't because you're so amazing.
I know. It was a sorority sister that I had that was just like that. And I was like, how are you this fucking pretty, this fucking smart, this fucking kind? Like, God damn it, could you have a vice? Yeah. Any fucking
please.
Vice.
Please. All right, I'll be your friend a little longer, I guess.
But no, I was going to bring up, if you're looking for more things to do with your kids.
Always. I mean,
over the weekend, went to see the art shanties. Right. Okay.
I have a vision of what you're talking about.
I want you to tell me what you think the art shanty project is first.
Okay. So shanty. In my head,
yes,
means one of two things.
Okay,
a song sung by sailors on tall mast ships.
Okay,
or a ramshackle building.
Correct.
So, art is seeing. You said seeing,
mm-hmm.
And so it's either a concert or an art exhibition. Based on the other language you used,
right?
I'm guessing it's going to be the latter.
Yes. However,
now I have art ramshackle buildings,
right.
And I'm trying to figure out what that means. And I'm guessing that it's basically artistic architecture on a small scale.
Yep. You got it.
Damn.
Almost entirely. It's various art projects. It's not always housing. Years past, they would do, like, more shack shanty things that you would walk into to be able to see the art.
Like a mini exhibition.
Yeah, like some of them you could walk into, and, like, each group has their own thing that they're doing. But, like, yeah, years past, you'd be able to walk into these buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Times being what they are with COVID, they're like, we're going to have everything happen outside of the buildings. So it's, you know, trying to bring the displays or the artistic concepts or the whatevers to the outside.
Put the inside out.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of different artists that do different things. There's a couple of theater groups that have shanties that they do. And it's about probably 30 or so of these art shacks. And different concepts. There was one that just looked like little gnome house, like had little windows and stuff that you could open up, kind of like an advent calendar. Oh. And there were like gnomes and different fairy tale things on the inside. And it was all log looking stuff. So it was pretty fantastic.
Is this over like by the MIA?
Actually, no.
Oh.
The other part of this that I was going to bring up is that the art shanty projects always happen. End of January, beginning of February, on a frozen lake.
Oh, clever.
So, like, years past, it's been more suburbary, like, suburbary, that's a word. We'll go with it.
I was going to let it pass.
No, I felt the need to call that out. No, I like that word.
Uh-huh.
Suburbary is a great word.
Suburbary.
I like it.
Suburbary.
Suburbary.
Pirates of the Suburbary Coast.
Yeah. but this year, for the first time in at least a while, if not forever, they're having
for
it
the
on.
First time in forever.
Oh my God. I should stop. I need to rethink my life. Fuck. All right. So anyway, it is on Lake Harriet.
Okay.
And I'm trying to learn the native name for Lake Harriet, too. I think it's Uma. Uncertain. So
I'm not familiar at all.
Note for me to work on learning that better. But yeah, so it's like right outside of the band shell. And they've got like a couple of taco trucks or like food trucks and like a warm beverage truck on the shore, not on the lake. And then, yeah, like you can walk yourself out onto the lake. And they do also have performances that happened. Like, okay. So it's kind of like an art shanty festival, but like on a smaller scale. They'll have different things happening at different times. Apparently, when I got there on Sunday, they had just finished doing a hula hooping thing.
Fun.
So you can do hula hooping on a frozen lake. And they had just started up some ice skating stuff. Right? And yeah, it's definitely your hippie art stuff kind of things. Some of them... There was one exhibit that was about garbage and working together on that. And so, like, the entire thing was made out of garbage.
Sure, yeah.
You know, like, those kinds of concepts. And so I walked around, and I enjoyed it. But I was like, you know what would make this better? If I had some kids that were going to be more excited over these things. Because I thought they were neat.
Yeah.
Right? I was like, oh, that's neat.
Are they...
Oh, that.
At all
that's
interactive?
Cool. Some of them are, some of them aren't. Good. Yeah. And I think, you know, again, times being what they are, I think some of them in years past have been more interactive than what they had this year. But yeah, there are certain things that are inactive. A lot of them are there to, like, kind of pose questions. One of them had a bunch of time-related stuff, and the question was, how do you waste time?
Mm-hmm.
What are your time wasters? And is that a waste or is it like actually helping you mentally?
Sure,
like,
yeah.
You know, asking those kinds of questions. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But I was like, this would be really fun for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like I said, I enjoyed it, but I'm also old and I was getting cold.
Is there a cover or is it?
Suggested
okay.
to donate. I don't remember what the suggested donation was. I just know that I gave it. But yeah, you don't have to.
Sure. I'll check it out.
It's a very open kind of thing. So definitely check that out. Because it was definitely neat to look at.
All right.
But I wanted... I told Joe afterwards, I was like, I want like kids here to be super excited about everything. Or like James... Because he would have seen
that's
that
redundant.
Little, he would have seen that gnome house, and he just would have been like, "Oh my God, look at this! Yeah. It's so tiny." And that's the other thing is that everything was tiny too. Like there was a lot of tiny things happening on that lake. So, yeah. So go see the art shacks. Bring people that that get excited by tiny things or really engage well with those types of artistic experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But recommend.
Cool. All right. Dear listeners, weigh in. Tell us what your thoughts are on all of this stuff that we talked
any
about.
Any of it. Have you ever made an art shanty?
Have you ever made a kid laugh playing board games?
What? Tell us which ways you express yourself artistically.
Dun, dun, dun.
Ooh.
All right. And we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, Apropos of Nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
And I'm Jenna.
And we're going to do a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from... James. He somehow wormed his way onto this show.
Who would do such a thing?
We got... James would, obviously.
Oh, that's fair.
Even not being here, he somehow got here.
I mean... He's always here in spirit.
I know. And smell, too.
I mean, you know, if you cleaned more often, that might not be an issue.
It's a new house. Should be clean enough. I do have to get that fart cupboard installed.
Yes. Oh, dear God in heaven, yes. I never realized before how important that was. Jesus. It's my second time in the lab. I'm like, okay.
But that first but that first 5 minutes was glorious. Anyway.
Yes.
James's email begins as follows.
Oh.
Greetings, friends. I am grateful to you both for, in my absence, doing what will be an undoubtedly short episode, where people start and end with a point of the story, and no leads are buried. I would like to point out, James, that you misspelled lead.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Anyway.
Lead. Oh, he isn't feeling well, is he? Oh, yeah. Fuck.
Right. Here is a sufficiently labyrinthine set of choices to help balance that out.
Oh, God.
I know.
I just realized the problem.
Uh-huh.
Mm, all right.
Question number one. H or F?
Fucking what? H or F? See, okay, because it's James. My guess is it has something to do with the actual structure of the letter and nothing to do with how it's used, right? Because an H is really just an F with the top moved down to the side.
Not quite. Capital H and capital F.
Sure, I guess that's what I have in my head. Oh, I didn't even think about lowercase. God damn you. Fucking asshole. Too many options.
I'm going to go F, and here's why. When James says something completely bonkers.
So like every 3 minutes, yeah.
And you are trying to vocalize your confusion. You could either go, or you can go, and so I'm going F.
All right. All right. I'm going to use the same premise.
Okay.
But change the back end just a bit. When James says something that is completely bonkers, do you say, what the hell, or what the fuck?
I'm still going with F.
Yeah, I probably say what the fuck the most.
All right.
Yeah, I'll go with F too.
We're both going with F.
Going with F. All right.
I hope this was sufficiently bonkers for you, James. Question number two. Eyes or ears? Eyes. I am very visual.
All right.
If you say things at me, chances are I'm going to miss it. I'll just, it won't register.
That's true.
It won't register. But if I read it or see it, it'll sink in more.
I'm going to go with ears because, I've had conversations with people in the past on like what I find attractive. What is your type?
Oh, uh-huh.
kind of questions, and like I have kind of a wide spread of
You had a date like that once?
More than once. But as far as like body type, hair, facial features, fucking skin tone, like I just have run the gamut, right? But everybody that I have dated has a beautiful voice. There is some kind of melodic quality to it. A lot of them either sound like or are storytellers, or singers, or both. And even if they're not, there's something in the way that they talk, their intonation, their flow of words that is just musical.
Sure.
So I'm going to go ears.
Okay.
All right. Question number three. Dark or light?
I have a lot more dark clothes than light clothes. We kind of talked about that earlier.
Yeah. I mean, my nickname at my previous job was Nosferatu. I'm going dark.
I do prefer dark chocolate.
Oh.
Yeah.
The nighttime is the right time.
The nighttime is the right time. Would you rather meet a vampire or an angel?
Vampire.
I think I'd rather meet an angel. Just because we've got a lot of vampire stories.
But angels are usually really, like, uptight and boring.
I think you are thinking of the angels in general, like children mythology, as opposed to like a biblical angel that has 100,000 eyes.
That's also true. And like, or smiting the unbelievers, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They
still sound kind of... I mean, this is... by definition, but they sound holier than thou.
They are.
And I'm just...
You're done with that. You're past it.
Like, get over yourself. Yeah. Whereas a vampire is like, no, they're sexy and they've got like flaws and they're interesting.
All right. I'm going...
Even if they're fucking going to rip my throat out, it's going to be fucking interesting.
All right. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love to meet a vampire at a distance. But, like, no, there's... And I think, for me, I think so much of it is around, like, the mythology of it. And we've got, you know, some biblical things. Sure, yeah. But, like, how do you visualize an angel? And we always say with lightness. I'm taking this a completely different direction.
Oh, shit.
Babylon 5. Did you see Babylon 5?
Uh-uh.
Well, then this is going to make not a
that's okay.
Moment
it's
of
a fast
understanding.
Five. Nothing makes any sense.
Right. But in Babylon 5, they have basically the creatures of light and the creatures of dark.
Uh-huh.
I'll just go with that. And the creatures of light are always asking, who are you? Who are you? And the creatures of dark are always asking, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
And so, which do I think is the more important of those two questions? There's your esoteric bullshit.
I'm still going dark.
What do you want?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who am I?
I think I need to know who I am before I can figure out what it is that I want. And yeah, I know if you're pushing up your glasses right now on the whole Babylon 5 ass, I don't care. Shut your mouth. Don't care. Don't put that in this thing. Shut it. Just shut it.
All right. Question number four. New or small?
¿Por qué no los dos?
Going new.
Would.
James does the small thing. I don't do the small thing. I go big or go home.
I'm leaning towards small.
I had a date like that once.
I'm wondering, actually. That was... So anyway. best not get into that one. So... I think the question is, would James be more excited by new fancy technology or tiny technology?
Oh, small.
And I'm going small.
Yeah. If that's the question, then small, clearly.
Yeah. Although he does like his new gadgets, too.
He does. So. He likes them better if they're small.
That's true.
All right. Question number five. Salsa or Jenna?
Me?
Jenna.
Yeah. The hell? How is that a question?
If you have to choose between Jenna and me, choose Jenna.
Choose Jenna. Yeah.
Choosy moms, choose Jenna.
Accurate.
All right. James wraps this up by saying, I hope you have chosen correctly and will regret only those things that you have not done. In addition to regretting making me a host, I suppose.
Hearts.
And we open up this second. And it says, welcome back.
Oh, that was quick.
As I write these, I am listening to the Super Mario Land rap as performed by the Ambassadors of Funk.
Jesus Christ, even his preamble is esoteric.
That will have little to no bearing on the context. It's just a bop. Jesus, God, James, bringing his tangents in.
We thought we'd avoided it, but
nope.
No. All right.
Oh, my God. Jenna, you are so good at this game.
Did I nail it?
Question number one, which is your more regular expletive to follow what the? Hell or fuck?
Oh, my God.
Nailed it.
Yes.
Well done. Still going with fuck.
I win.
Absolutely fuck.
Hold on.
Yes.
I need applause for that one. All right, too much.
No, definitely nailed it. Well done. Question number two, eyes or ears? Which would be the better accommodation to add as a regular feature to movie theaters if you had to pick?
Oh.
Glasses that add subtitles or audio description services? I think the subtitles. I feel like audio description services at a movie theater would be too much.
So, backtracking just a touch for Fringe. They try to have accessibility services, yeah. And they'll have like audio descriptions, or they'll have, and they also have like, they'll have sign interpreters, available. And I think that, it's really important to have audio description stuff available for people who can't see the stage. Because stages get weird, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. But movie theaters.
But like the thing about a movie is that I suppose sometimes they can get weird. I feel like I'm being asked to choose between deaf people and blind people, and
That's absolutely what he's saying.
I'm gonna say glasses for closed captionings would help me a lot. Because I do think my hearing is
getting
a little cranky in theaters sometimes.
I think audio descriptions during a movie, trying to listen to the movie and the audio description at the same time would be really confusing.
And clearly, not for people that do it. No.
Okay.
Audio descriptions are a regular thing.
Okay. I'm not even familiar with them. That can be provided
as an accessibility thing in a lot of situations.
But I think movies in general, subtitles would be more.
It's kind of like if you think about, and I know it's not 100% the same thing, but if you think about when you do the self-guided tours at like Art Institute or something like that. It's kind of like that.
But the painting isn't itself making sound and advancing plot.
No, and like I said, and I know it's not 100%, but it is that kind of a thing. And there are people that, it is an established accessibility thing, which is why I don't want to choose. So I will be selfish and say closed captions is what I would like to use. Yeah.
No, I think the closed captions would be more as a regular feature. I think the other as an option should definitely also be a thing. I think they should both be an option, but a regular feature.
I honestly have no idea how many people would use the audio description one. Honestly, I
can
only guess at this one based off of like me as an individual.
Yeah. I know for a fact that myself and many of my friends would use subtitles.
Yeah.
Straight up.
We're getting old.
I know, right? Mm. Question number 3, dark or light?
Okay.
Is it more important for you to sleep in a very dark room or to wake up with natural light in the room? Participating stores only, not available in winter months.
Accurate. For me, it is much more helpful to be able to wake up in light. I've got all of my smart home stuff, and I've set up a light that will turn on about a half an hour before my alarm goes off. To try to just help my brain catch on to the fact that it's getting close morning, to wake up time. Yeah. I am also very lucky in that I can sleep when there is light.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's not a common thing at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for me, if I'm tired, I'm going to sleep. I can curl up and crash pretty much everywhere. But I do not wake up well in the morning, and I do like to have the light for myself. I don't think there's a right or wrong on that one. I think, just for me as a person, it's like, I like to have some light to wake up. And honestly, this year at Fest, I kind of tarped myself in a little too well. I was having problems getting up closer towards the end of the run. The combination of the dark and the cold, and I'm just like, nope.
Staying in here. I'm going to stick with dark. I used to have really bad insomnia. Like, I would go 2 or 3 days without sleep.
Sure.
And a few years back, I read some stuff on light pollution and how that can affect sleep. And I kind of started making sure that the room was dark when I went to bed.
Sure.
Because when my wife and I were first married, she went and taught in Bemidji for a year.
Yep.
And, which sucked, by the way, newlyweds living apart.
Mm-hmm.
But she got into the habit of going to bed with the TV on.
Okay.
When she was doing that. Yep. And then that carried over when she got back. And I just, that was something that the entire time we were married was a thing. We always had the TV on in our room when she went to sleep. And I decided that what I was going to do is after she fell asleep, I was going to turn the TV off. And, you know, things like that, just to try to make it darker in the room.
Sure.
And not have, like, the nightlight and things like that in the room. And I discovered I was getting to sleep easier and getting better sleep with a dark room. I can, if I'm tired, I can fall asleep anywhere.
Right.
You know, I'm getting older too. You know, I definitely fall asleep on the couch, you know, snoring with my tongue hanging out. But I've discovered that if I go to bed and the room is dark and I don't have that light pollution, that I do get a better night's sleep.
Okay.
So I'm going with dark. I mean, it doesn't matter what you do in the morning. I don't do morning. Yeah. I'm not going to wake up good.
No, I'm not either. Yeah. But like for me, it's like these are the things that I need to compensate for more.
Yeah, there is no right? There's no force on earth, in heaven, or in hell, with the exception of coffee,
yep,
that is going to help me wake up in any better state whatsoever. It will not happen. I do not wake up good.
But, so it has been stated, so shall it be.
Get a darker, if I get a dark room, I do get better sleep. I fall asleep better.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right.
All right. Question number four. New or small? Hooray! Your favorite franchise is slated to release either a new game in the series or a super portable standalone console or mobile app version of your favorite existing game. Which is better? I'm gonna go with new because I don't really do portable that much. If I'm playing games,
I play phone games all the time. So if we're talking like a portable version of like a game that I enjoy playing, a portable version of Sims, or you know, which they have some of them, they kind of suck. But the new game may or may not be good.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm still going to go new. If I am on my phone 90% of the time, I am doing nonograms.
Sure. I've recently discovered art puzzles. I think I used to do them and then mm-hmm. I rediscovered them.
Sure.
And then I discovered more of them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's been my big like phone go to lately. But mm-hmm. yeah, I was doing like the Pie Cross
yeah
for quite a while.
And like I had a mobile, I had a Nintendo DS at one point, and I lost it. I can't find it. I have no idea where it went. And now we've moved, so it's fucking gone.
Also, Wordle, ding.
What's that?
Oh my god! It's the latest game craze. Okay. Holy fuck. I'll tell you about it after. Like,
okay.
It's a fun story.
Okay. No, I give me something new though. Mm. Yeah, I don't go places. I'm 95% of my gaming is done in my office on my computer.
Okay.
So, yeah. Also, I've tried playing other games on my phone, and they just drain my battery so fast.
There is that. I do definitely notice more battery drain when I'm playing games.
So, anyway, question number five, Salsa or Jenna. In James's absence, which host most took over the mantle, talking about adorable things and inedible foods? I think my wife actually won that
one. Actually, yeah. It was straight up Raiderly took over. Yeah,
no, absolutely
Raiderly walked in and was like, this is my platform now, uh-huh. bitches.
No, she had something to say. And I'm good with that.
But if it was between the two of us, I think...
I'm going to go me. Because I talk
was
about
to say, I think you talked...
The board games with my kids.
And that was super adorable.
I think is probably what took it, yeah.
Yeah. Going salsa.
Talking about adorable things. Yep. Yeah, no, there it is.
I mean, way to reference your kids as things, but whatever.
the game. And yes, my kids are things. I was in honor choir. It was Allstate. I was in Allstate choir in high school. And there was this Allstate? No, this was honor choir. We did one song. It was called No John No, but the lyrics are, on yonder hill there stands a creature, who she is I do not know, I'll go ask her hand in marriage, she must answer yes or no. Those are the lyrics.
Okay.
And we got some more backstory on the whole, like, it's meant to be, you know, not serious, obviously.
Right.
But just like this guy is, and then the refrain is, no, John, no, 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 John, no. Like, this is very clearly this guy has got his shit wrong. But just the on yonder hill there stands a creature, who she is I do not know, I'll go ask her hand in marriage, she must answer yes or no. Oh, no, John, no, John, oh, no, John, no. And so, yeah. that has always stuck with me, that there stands a creature. Who she is, I do not know, but I'll go ask her hand in marriage.
I sometimes call my boyfriend my ridiculous and beautiful creature.
So noble, does he stamp his foot while he's gazing out into the morning dew?
No.
Okay.
No.
James.
Mostly he made fart noises on my stomach, so, you know, whatever. Yeah.
This sounds like Joe.
Yes.
This is wrapped up by James saying, I hope you had a blast, James. P.S. Mm. Bye, love you, bye.
Aww.
Yeah. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. The first one should be the choices, and the second one, repeat those choices and give us the context. Do you have a shout out, Jenna?
I want to give a shout out to, my brain broke and I just went through three of them at once. I want to give a shout out to people that are still working bars and restaurants right now. Mm. I know we lift up nurses and teachers, and we are right to do so. But I know that for some people, there is just not a choice. You need to continue to pay for things and do what you got to do. And anybody working in a restaurant... In these service industries specific or overall, I'll see you, man. You're there on the lines. You are exposing yourself by way of need. Mm-hmm. And I just want to let you know that I see you and shout out.
All right. I'm going to, on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day, give my shout out to all of those present day Martin Luther Kings, all of those people that are continuing the fight that still fucking exists for some goddamn reason. Jesus fuck.
Right.
Civil rights should be done and dusted. This is ridiculous. Why are we still having this conversation? But we are still having this conversation. This is still an issue, and there are still people out there that are fighting for their voices to be heard for the equality and justice that should just be a thing. Keep fighting the good fight. We see you. All right. Well, let's bring the podcast down even more. Jesus fuck.
Did you have anything to plug?
I know, right? I don't really have anything to plug. I do have some. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to plug this. The Pond Hockey Championship is coming up in just a week and a half or so on Lake Nokomis. I am kind of disappointed because I no longer live a block away from Lake Nokomis. So for me to go to the Pond Hockey Championship, I actually have to go to the Pond Hockey Championship, which I'm still going to do. Don't get me wrong. But no, that's coming up. And it's a good time if you like Minnesota and if you like, you know, skating on frozen ponds and pond hockey and just kind of the purest and roots of hockey, this is the place to go. And it's a really good time. And you go to the warming tent and you get hot cocoa and
yes,
hot dogs with sauerkraut. And then you go and watch some people skate around on a frozen pond and play hockey. It's such a fun time. Check it out. Anything, Jenna?
I do have things, actually. There was a show that I was supposed to do over the weekend for Molière's birthday. A reading of Don Juan.
Don Juan.
But that has been rescheduled to Saturday, February 19th at 3 p.m. at Strike Theater. They're still figuring out that is our current reschedule. So that could change again, depending on the state of the world. But that is currently what that looks like. So definitely put that on your calendars. The Strike Theater does require proof of vaccination, and masking at all times. So, that is very important. So that is coming up in a bit. Hopefully, fingers crossed. Also, I don't know what I need to do to get you to follow my streams. I feel like I have been begging and pleading. I've been asking nicely. I have not yet resorted to threats. I hear that is uncouth. So I will not. As Salsa reaches for the sword he just put up behind him.
I put the sharp one behind me.
I will not threaten you. I will just say that I'm very disappointed.
Ooh, shit. Oh, fuck, everybody.
I'm just speaking directly to Salsa right you now, not you guys. Oh,
I done fucked up. Fuck me. I follow your stream.
You are a follower. I am a follower.
I never actually, because I'm doing things.
Actually watch it. So yeah, just a reminder that if you follow me, you'll get a notification as to when I'm doing things like Prom with Tom or my own games. Heaven forbid I should just play games. But also, family game night, not board games, Valheim, with myself, my daughter, and my brother. Actually, I'm going to do a little bit of an extra pimp for, my brother. His, Twitch handle, XJERE, go follow that because he is working towards his affiliateship. So he needs more followers, so go follow him. And then you'll be notified when the both of us start playing. For family game nights every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Central Time, my technology issues notwithstanding. So yeah, follow my brother, follow me, follow the both of us. But definitely tune in for family game night. I think we're getting close to taking on one of our final bosses for Valheim. And when we wrap up Valheim, we do have a few other things that, we're looking to play, that I'm super excited for. There's a certain, game coming out that we are all excited to play. It might even have some D&D overtones to it. So, yeah, follow us, join us for family game night.
All right. Any final thoughts?
Bye.
In that case, thank you so very much for listening to this podcast. Thank you very much to James for sending in the Fast Five. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.